We'll be reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. God's word for us this morning. Please be seated. You know, when I was preparing for this message, as I looked at different Bible commentators, some of them suggested that we have no idea why Jesus chose to go to this town of Jericho. Jericho was about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And we have no idea why Jesus apparently spent such a short time at Jericho, why he left it at this particular time. We know in the first century that Jericho was described as being a very prosperous and flourishing city. And I would like us to use our imaginations this morning and imagine that we are a part of that large crowd in Jericho that is following Jesus as he's leaving the city of Jericho. Certainly, we would be following a well-traveled road. And this was an ideal road to be at if you needed to be a beggar. And I want you to understand that in the first century, a blind man sitting alongside a road begging was a very common sight. There was no Social Security disability back then. Imagine that you were this blind man, Bartimaeus. You are looking directly at Jesus. And Jesus would ask you the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" We know when we study the Gospels that Jesus performed many of his greatest ministries in sort of an unplanned, sort of in an incidental manner as he traveled about the countryside. There seemed to be something real informal and very natural about the way that Jesus came to touch people's lives. You know, we don't need to be in a formal situation to experience the presence of the living Christ. You know, Jesus walked a road not only from Jericho to Jerusalem, but I also think in a sense that Jesus can walk the road between Hagerstown and Searfoss. And Jesus can also walk that road from Clear Spring to Hagerstown. Jesus can be as close as the air we breathe, but I have to confess that each of us does not always have a consciousness of his presence. I believe that today, Jesus approaches each one of us this morning just as he approached that blind man, because we all have needs, right? Nobody here can say, "I don't need anything this morning." He approached that blind man with the question, and I think he approaches us with the question today, "What do you want me to do for you?" I think we, just like that blind man, are often lacking in perspective. We don't always see, do we? We don't always have the right focus in life. We don't always focus on reality. We are not always seeing what is happening to people all around us. I know each one of us was saddened when we learned about the terrorist attacks in Paris and in San Bernardino, California. And I don't mean to minimize the grief of those who lost loved ones in Paris or in California, those 14 victims who were attending a Christmas party in San Bernardino, California. But in my opinion, there are many other acts of terror that we are closing our eyes to. According to the most recent data of the Center for Disease Control, 10,076 individuals died as a result of drunk drivers in 2013. Drug overdose was the leading cause of injury death in 2013. 43,982 individuals died as a result of drug overdose. And as Teresa and I drove from our home to Goshen, Indiana for a funeral and back, and as we tuned in different radio stations, there wasn't one radio station that wasn't talking about the epidemic of drug overdoses. Now, if you do some basic math, you will discover that every year now in the United States, nearly as many Americans die because of alcohol and drug abuse than were killed during the entire Vietnam War. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you won't find the names of the victims of drunk drivers and drug overdoses on any wall as a memorial. Do we often fail to open up our eyes and acknowledge the terror of suicide? Again, the Centers for Disease Control reported in 2013, 41,149 American deaths due to suicide. And what about the deaths of the unborn? The same year that I'm quoting these statistics marked the 40th anniversary of that infamous Supreme Court decision, Roe versus. And since that court decision, there have been an estimated 52 to 58 million abortions performed in the United States. And it averages out to 1.21 million abortions every year. Where do you see, or how often do you see, people protesting that violence? You know, there are many events in Scripture where Jesus healed blind people, people who couldn't see, people who didn't have focus. And we find another event recorded in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26, where Jesus asked a person, "Do you see anything?" Now, he was sort of in the healing transition there. And this man looked up to Jesus and he said, "Yeah, I see people. They look like trees walking around." I wonder, do we sometimes see other people just like a tree? Do we really see people like Jesus saw people, or do we only see statistics instead of specific individuals? Jesus had time for people in need. And Jesus' concern, more than anything else, changed the whole mood of that crowd at Jericho that day. Did you catch in the scripture reading? At first, the people in the crowd basically were telling Bartimaeus, "Why don't you get quiet? Why don't you just shut up?" But when Jesus stopped and he asked for the blind man, they completely changed their attitude. They were so fickle, right? Then they started encouraging this beggar. And Bartimaeus, he threw his coat aside. He jumped to his feet. And he shouted in Mark 10:47, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what those words were? Those were an acknowledgement of his misery. They were an acknowledgement of Bartimaeus' unworthiness, his helplessness, his dependence, his utter dependence on other people. But I believe he also had strong confidence in Christ's ability and willingness to help him. The blind beggar recognized the unique personhood of Jesus Christ. He spoke of him as being the son of David, having a royal heritage. And the beggar, he was persistent in his cry for help, in spite of those who tried to make him quiet and silence him. You know, I think that beggar's shout that day was his prayer. And we know that Jesus hears prayer. And above the noise of that huge crowd, Jesus heard the distress call of that blind man. Jesus in Mark 10:51 said, "What do you want?" And as Jesus came to that blind man, he can come to us today. Remember the promise of Jesus in Matthew 18:20, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And just think about the tens of thousands of Christian churches all over the world, and people who are worshiping Christ today, and he is in their midst just like he is here this morning. Every one of us, we need to reignite a vital faith in the resurrected and living Christ, who is the same as the Christ of Jericho, the same as the Christ today, the same as he's always going to be. We should never just consider Jesus to be an historic figure that lived 2 millennia ago. May God always give us the faith we need, not just to experience the presence of Christ, not just to experience the power of Christ, but how about his purpose for our lives every day, so that we can really see with these eyes and so that we can really have the proper life perspective. I believe that Jesus can confront every person with his grace and with his power at the point of our greatest need. And I want to submit to you at this time, perhaps the greatest need each one of us has is to have a better perspective as to what is really happening to individuals, our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, people all around us. You know, we need to have a desire like that blind man had. In Mark 10:51, the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." There was a man who was losing his memory. How many are losing their memory out here today? Some of you are honest. Okay, you have senior moments just like I do. Well, this man was losing his memory, and so he went to his doctor for advice. And his doctor gave him the following diagnosis: "We cannot help your memory without impairing your eyesight." Whoa, what a diagnosis, what a choice to make. The doctor said, "Now the choice is yours. Would you rather be able to see or to remember?" And the man stopped for a minute, and he had to think about his answer. And he told his doctor, "Frankly, I would rather have my eyesight than my memory, for you see, I would rather see where I am going than to remember where I have been." Pretty sound advice. A good answer. Did you notice what the blind beggar didn't ask Jesus for? Didn't ask him for a handout, did he? He didn't ask Jesus for money. But can we well understand why the blind man would request above all things the restoration of his sight? He'd been living in total darkness. Blindness had robbed him of the privilege of perhaps looking into the face of his wife or to the eyes of precious children. He had never been able to see the beauty of a flower or the glory of a wondrous sunset. I'm sure that blind man wanted to live in a world of light rather than in a world of darkness. Can't each one of us sympathize and identify with his prayer for sight? And after he received his sight through the healing power of faith, what did he decide to do? He decided to follow Jesus. And Jesus' opening of the eyes of the blind man stands in sharp contrast to the spiritual blindness of so many religious leaders. Yeah, it was the religious leaders that Jesus encountered. Did you know the Bible doesn't just talk about physical blindness? It also talks about spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." I know most of you here wouldn't be here today unless you believed in prayer. And I think one of the greatest prayers any of us could ever pray is a prayer for spiritual insight and understanding. The ability to see the spiritual poverty of our own souls, that ought to give us a desire to live transformed lives. Such a sight could challenge us to draw closer to the Lord, to study His Word more diligently, and to find our way more often into a place of solitary prayer. If we could see as Jesus sees, we would see the sin in our lives that is displeasing to God. And those sins could be turned into great blessings. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, was granted a vision of how God saw the sin of his soul. Isaiah wrote, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah was a great man of God, but Isaiah was also convicted of his sin. And Isaiah confessed his sin. He experienced the cleansing of the Lord. And then you know what he did? He decided to consecrate his life to doing God's will. I believe a clear vision of the spiritual resources available to Christian believers can be one of the Lord's greatest blessings to us, according to Philippians 4:13. The Apostle Paul believed that Christ was present with power to help him every time he was in need. And the Apostle Paul's faith gave him courage as he responded to difficulty and as he responded to opportunities. Would you agree with me this morning that sometimes our perspective is just too limited? There was a new member of the British Parliament who took his 8-year-old daughter on a brief tour of his beloved capital in London. They came to that awesome structure called Westminster Abbey, and the awesomeness of that structure struck that little girl. She walked through Westminster Abbey with her father, and she looked up at those tall columns on either side of the church, and she studied the beauty and the grandeur of that ancient Gothic church structure. Her father was very intrigued at how well that little girl concentrated on all that architecture. And he looked down and said, "Sweetheart, what are you thinking about?" And she looked up at her father and said, "Daddy, I was just thinking of how big you seem at home and how little you look here." perspective. Jesus Christ is an awesome Savior. And He comes to each one of us today with the same question. The same question He asked the blind man. What do you want me to do for you? If you need forgiveness of sin, ask Jesus for it and trust Him for it. If you need a greater faith in the goodness of God, ask for it. If you need the wisdom that only God can give you, ask for it. If you need special strength and energy to bear the burdens and the responsibilities that you're facing in your life right now, ask for it. Jesus Christ wants to help us today just like He helped blind Bartimaeus. And as Jesus served and ministered to people long ago, He wants to serve and minister to our needs, and He wants us to minister to the needs of others with sincere empathy. And what do we need to do? We need to just ask for that. We need to ask the Lord to truly have a godly perspective. Would you stand with me at this time for our hymn of invitation, number 562, Be Thou My Vision.